sign anything, boy, back then. Remember when you're ripping gas pumps and all that day, those days. Amen. Good evening.
Amen.
It's Friday. I am going to feel so backslid the rest of the year with these weekend meetings. Really, this is fun.
Amen.
It is. Amen. And I'm in church more than most people, but putting it all together like this, just it really gets good. It gives God a chance to do something.
Amen.
Amen. So, we had a request, and we do take requests. I had one time, somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, we just love your singing, but could you sing solo? And I went, well, she said, no, I meant solo, nobody could hear you. I don't know. When he moves among us and all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, if the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. That's for sure. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me.
Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind.
God has been good,
so good.
I have been blessed.
Arms that will raise and a voice that can talk. Hands that can touch.
And EMTs and people that drop everything and put their lives on the line, get out in traffic and run into buildings and things like that for us. Even for the nurses that work these, I've been in some emergency rooms on a Saturday night before I got saved and the things they deal with on a day. We need to remember them in prayer. This is for them. If that's you tonight, thank you.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done.
Amen.
We live in a country, the greatest on earth. The flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands.
my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I say I have been blessed.
All right, everybody.
I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Amen.
God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Isn't that good? Susan and I have been blessed by this, the friendship of this church. You that we've, folks that we've come to get to know over the years, what a blessing. So thank you for being part of God's blessing to us.
Thank you, Lord.
And this is where you're supposed to say, we feel that way about you too, Mr. Brother. Nobody said that. Amen. All right. I'm not picking on Texas or the deserts or cowboys, but I want to be fair. That's so important to me, believe me. So this one's about California. And here goes. The California Department of Game and Fish is advising hikers, hunters, and fishermen, and even golfers to keep alert and take extra precautions and be alert for bears, especially in the mountainous areas. They advise people to wear noise-producing devices, such as little bells, on their clothing to alert but not startle a bear unexpectedly. They also advise carrying pepper spray in case of an encounter with a bear. It is also a good idea to watch for fresh signs of bear activity. Never heard it called that before. Know the difference between black bear and grizzly bear activity. Black bear droppings are smaller and contain berries and possibly squirrel fur. Grizzly bear droppings are larger. They often have little bells in them. Smell like pepper spray. Amen. I just want to be fair. Amen to our California visitors. Amen. Not visitors, members. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Don't y'all get mad at me for saying that. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. And let me see here. Let's begin in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, I like to point out the fact that that is the first question mark in the King James Bible. I don't have any idea about any other Bible. I don't have time for that. But that's the question mark. I was preaching in Hialeah, Florida a year or so ago, and a pastor, I think he quoted that verse in talking about something, and he said he thinks that the mark of the beast, we all like that kind of stuff, is a question mark. And I thought, that is profound. That is profound, because right there, what he's questioning is what God said. That battle's still raging. It's going to be raging until it's all said and done. Exodus 20 and verse 10. Amen. But it says this in verse 5. It says, I better read more because I didn't read 2 or 3 yet. It says verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Is that true?
Yeah.
This ain't a trick question. Yeah, it is true. Then it says, neither shall ye touch it, and lest ye die. Now, God didn't say that to Adam. Amen. I had somebody say that she was correcting the Bible or changing the Bible when she said that. Well, I'm not going to put that on her. I think Adam told her that. Knowing how women are, you know, don't even touch it. Amen. Not really, because he didn't know much about women. That was the only one. Amen. But it says there, it says, we may eat other fruit and neither shall I touch it lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And that's the first lie in the King James Bible. And the serpent, it was offered by the serpent, the devil, and he's calling God a liar. First he questions what he said, then he came right out and called him a liar. And again, that battle's still raging. Amen. But what I want to zero in on is verse 5. And this is also still the serpent talking. He says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Father, again, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege to assemble in your name. Thank you for those that have come, and please bless those that are hindered for whatever reason that are watching. I pray you bless them too. And Lord God, I just pray you help me to say something that be worth the time, God, these people have put in this week. I pray you bless them tonight. Pray you be pleased. And God, if there's somebody here who's not saved, I pray somebody just come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ this week while they can. And we'll give you the glory for that. And I love you, and I pray you'd help me say what you'd want said. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And look to me like the serpent insinuates to Eve that God wants to keep her from seeing something. And he did. And it was evil. That's what that was. He wanted to keep her from evil. Verse 6 says this, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now it says there that the woman, of course that'd be Eve, saw that the tree was good for food. Was she worried about a food shortage in the Garden of Eden? I mean, she's hanging out next to the only place, the only tree, the only thing that God said stay away from, and she justifies it by saying, well, the fruit there would be good for food. And it said pleasant to the eyes. And in this tree's in the midst of the garden, I'm pretty sure the rest of the garden looked probably pretty good too. And then it said, well, when I wrote a note there, it said, Proverbs 27 says, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Didn't matter. Didn't matter what the rest of the garden looked like. She was zeroed in on that one there. And then it said, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She didn't need a tree to be wise. All she had to do is what God said to be wise. And that works for you and I too, because Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's interesting to me that the serpent never mentioned anything about good for food or pleasant to the eyes to make one. That was all Eve. That was all Eve. That was Eve's wheels turning. And those that all came about as soon as, let me say it like this, as soon as the flesh hears, don't, that's when we start figuring out ways to justify doing what we are just told not to. We see that in children, and it goes all the way through. Amen? My thinking is, why are they hanging out, within sight of the only thing God said stay away from? And I'll tell you why. Because they're just like we are. Something about that flesh. But there's the thought. Let's establish the thought said there in verse 5. For your eyes, then your eyes shall be opened. Take your Bible now, go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And here's Paul giving his testimony. He's on trial. Amen. He's in chains. He's bound. He's literally never a free man again. And it says in verse 2, I think myself happy. I know Christians that can't seem to think themselves happy on a good day.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I've said it before, if you sincerely spend some time in prayer for your brothers and sisters, what you'll be reminded of is that a lot of people have got it worse than you. It'd make it a lot easier, amen, to thank God for what you got going for you. Paul said, I think myself happy. Amen. And he gives his testimony. He never missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
Amen. To tell him about how he got saved on the road to Damascus. And then, let me see, verse 17, he tells Agrippa that Jesus told him, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. He gives his commission. In verse 18, here it is. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness for sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Again, the Lord Jesus being quoted there. And so it looks to me like, looking at the passage in Genesis and the passage here in Acts, that God and Satan both want your eyes open for entirely different reasons. Amen. Both want, and here's the title tonight, both want your undivided attention. Amen. So if you let the devil have your attention, it becomes all about you. And you know that we're in a day and age where people are just more self-centered than ever, or so it seems. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 14. I'm not just throwing ideas out there. Let's look and see what the book says.
Amen.
Isaiah 14. And the reason, if you let the devil have your attention, you become the center of the universe, because that's how he is. That's how he is. That's how he thinks. It's all about him. Verse 13, 12, maybe 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? In verse 13, it says this, for thou hast said in thine heart, and count them, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times, I. Five is the number of death. For the Bible believer, maybe for the Kumbaya, it's the number of grace. But for me, it is the number of death. Five times he says, I. And when he gets done, the prophet told him, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. To the sides of the pit. Saying it five times didn't make it true.
That's right.
For Lucifer. And when he convinces you that it's all about you, well, then your battle cry, instead of the words been praised we've been trying to offer to our Savior in these wonderful hymns, your battle cry becomes, I think, I feel, I want, I don't agree, I don't care. And I'm going to tell you what, saying it five times don't make it true for you either.
Right, amen.
Amen. The devil wants your eyes open, but for a completely different reason. The mentality that Adam and Eve had there in Genesis chapter 3 caused them to violate God's only thou shalt not at that time. One rule. No peer pressure. And they still blew it.
Yeah.
Boy, mankind's off to a great start. Amen. It says in verse 2, Genesis chapter 2 rather, and verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they did. And they died spiritually right there. Amen. Because God said so. And I tell you what, that's not all it caused. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Mankind, human race, has been paying for Adam and Eve's mistake ever since. I'd say this, I've noticed that people who give Satan their attention, in other words, become center of their own universe or ascend to the throne of their own life, they never consider the consequences for themselves or anybody else, because it's all about them. Amen? We're talking about giving the Lord your undivided attention, but be mindful the devil wants it, and that's what he tempted Eve with. Way back when. And when the devil has your undivided attention, here's what he tempts you with. He tempts you with the bright lights of his domain. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 4. We've referred to it several times in a messages this week. We'll read a couple of verses this time. Matthew chapter 4, the Lord is in the wilderness. And he didn't go out there and fast and get weak in the flesh, and the devil saw a chance to try to, you know, get over on him because he couldn't any other time. That's not what that was about at all. Say, well, you said that. I'm saying it again. I'm trying to get it to soak in. Amen. Repetition, comparison, and contrast is the principle of teaching, and especially in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let me see. Where am I at? Verse 8. Well, no, let me point it out in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's why he went, to give you and I a precedent to resist temptation. I know I said that the other night. All right. I'm not getting forgetful. I'm saying it again on purpose. But that day might come. I don't know. But verse number eight, it says this, let me see, he's tempted him once, and it says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Whose world is it? Well, Satan's the god of this world. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, verse 9, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ with the bright lights of his domain, this world. And it didn't work. It didn't work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he responded to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see that service and worship are synonymous. Amen. So you can sing all the choruses you want and swing and sway, but true worship is two things, gratitude and service. What would thou have me to do, Lord?
Amen.
All right? So let me see here. It didn't work for the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan's method there, but it sure has worked for many since. I fell for it. I grew up in northern Ohio out in the farm country. My parents were saved people. We went to church. Amen. And but I was attracted to the age, the 60s and the hippies the hippies and the Beatles. I was a Beatle fan. 10 years old, got my first Beatle album. Amen. And then, Woodstock, the movie came about when I was in high school, and another movie that really affected me called Easy Rider. And a couple guys got on Harleys and rode all across the country. And, of course, I don't know why I said I want to do that, build a chopper, and I've done it more than a few times. But somehow, as a teenager, I kind of conveniently forgot that they did it with drug money. That wasn't a good start. And that they were blown off their motorcycles by a couple rednecks in a pickup truck in South Texas. Okay, it was Mississippi, but that was a Freudian slip. Amen. I wonder if there's places you go these days where redneck would be offensive. I hope not. I know it ain't that way here. Amen. Matter of fact, somebody I knew sang a song and said, "My long hair just can't cover up my redneck." I said, "I like that. I like that." Amen. But I grew up a naive country boy and fell for all that stuff. And by the time I was 18 years old, I had to get away from that little community and get away from my mom and dad, the tyrants that God put in my life to make sure my hair didn't get too long or I didn't stay out too late or have any fun. I had to get away from them. And there was only one way. I didn't have any money. I didn't go to college. Obviously, and so I pursued the only avenue I saw open to myself. I went down to a little army recruiter in a small town, and I enlisted in the United States Army. Amen. Right out of high school. And I just wanted to get out there, whatever that means, out there in the devil's domain and have some fun. That's what I thought. And I just, to be honest, I had some great once-in-a-lifetime experiences, to be sure. Jumping out of airplanes is something to remember. I really enjoyed that. But I also got my eyes opened to a lot of things, you know, growing up out in the country and then getting thrust into training with the guys from Detroit and Cleveland and some city boys. I learned things I wish I wouldn't have. Amen. Things I didn't know nothing about. I heard words I'd never heard in my life. And like I say, I got my eyes open to things I wish I hadn't, to the degree that I oftentimes can't even close my eyes when I pray. It amazes me, the things that I don't think about in a normal course of a normal day. And then when I try to get with God, I'm thinking, isn't that something? Now, it kind of freaked me out in the early years, but I've come to learn that's how it is. Somebody said devil himself is afraid of the weakest saint on their knees. And I get it, you're trying to say, because we have access to the throne of grace. But I thought about that, and I'll tell you, sometimes when I'm praying, it feels like the devil just gets down there with me and puts his arm around me. And starts putting stuff, and he don't put stuff in my head, he just reminds me of stuff I put in my head. I got no one to blame. Amen. But my motive was pure, I just wanted to go out and have a little fun. Amen. Gave the devil my left that church, never went to church again. For a long time, except for a funeral, and we went to many funerals. They weren't even in churches. I can't remember one. They were in funeral homes or bars or clubhouses. Amen. It's the only time I ever saw a preacher. Gave the devil my undivided attention. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hidden when they're lost, and hid to them that are lost. And if you let the god of this world have your attention, that's exactly... Yeah. Well, even if you're saved, and your gospel's hid, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And when our gospel is hid, lost people stay lost, die lost, go to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You give the devils your attention, and it don't end well.
Amen.
Give the devil your undivided attention, and sometimes you can't even close your eyes when you know you should. We read it, the fall of mankind began with a look. She saw. Amen. Was pleasant to the eye. David's sin with Bathsheba began with a look. Now that boy knew. As soon as whatever the reason, I've had different thoughts about why he was up there. But let's say he was up there accidentally, even though he was supposed to be at war. As soon as he realized that Bathsheba was over on another rooftop naked, that boy should have turned and ran. And that's what you and I better learn how to do. And that's what this world has taught us that, this world has tempted us not to do by having so much around us all the time. His sin with Bathsheba, Sheba began with the look, but it didn't end there, did it?
No.
It ended in murder.
Right.
And later on in Psalm 101 in verse 3, David wrote, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And he learned that lesson the hard way.
That's right.
And you and I do well to learn it because it says it rather than the hard way.
Amen.
Amen. It says it shall not cleave to me. I heard an expression one time and it was like, I can't unsee that. So whatever the, but that's where it comes from. That's what I thought of.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just say, many Christians, young, old, men, women, preachers too, have lost their testimony.
Yes.
Over some sin that began with a look. Amen. You better be careful. We live in a high definition visual age that makes it too easy to see things we shouldn't see. You know, that prodigal in Luke chapter 15 gathered up everything he had and took off for the far country. You don't have to gather nothing these days. Far country is one click away. And you're someplace you're not ever supposed to be. And your flesh doesn't keep you from coming back when you should. Amen. Job said this in Job 31 and verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? See, what you see gets these wheels turning. And the reason why some people's besetting sin is looking at stuff they shouldn't is because they haven't made a covenant with their eyes. And their flesh, they'll say, my flesh won't let me, I'm just... But what about that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? You might say you couldn't resist. But according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, you cannot say you couldn't.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And Christian, when you give the devil your undivided attention, you're just as blind as a lost person, even though you should know better. Go to Genesis 25. Undivided attention tonight. You know where I'm going. We should give it to God. We should be mindful that there's temptation all around us. Yeah, the little things are still part of the devil's world. And he's the one that started this whole thing by tempting Eve to look at a tree. And he ain't changed his tactics too much. Because he's just increased what's available for us to look at that we shouldn't. Verse 32, we're in Genesis 25. And look at verse 32. And verse 31, Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Birthright was a big deal to an Old Testament Jew. Amen. Esau is Jacob's firstborn. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright, verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright be to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. Boy, Esau sold out cheap. I don't know what pottage of lentils is, but I don't want none. Amen. Don't sound good to me. Amen. But I'll tell you, a lot of Christians have sold out cheap too. I wonder how many have forsaken their birthright, traded their testimony.
Right.
Good thing we can't lose our salvation.
Yeah.
But boy, you can lose your testimony. And I know some Christians that have traded their testimony for a moment of weakness and sold out for the equivalent of a bowl of pottage. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, but the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And if you don't deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, the same grace of God that saved you from hell will keep you all the way to heaven. But you'll have nothing to show for it. What a crying shame it would be to get before God empty-handed. I don't want to go empty-handed. Amen?
Amen.
You don't want to give the devil your undivided attention. You want to give your undivided attention to the Lord. That's what this meeting's about. It's just to remind you of things you already know, to encourage you to maybe deal with things that have crept in, because things creep in. And then we hear messages and a different voice, a different way, same Bible. And the Spirit of God says, remember this? You heard this 2 weeks ago by him, and you heard it a week ago by him. And now I brought this loudmouth from Ohio in, and he's knocking too. And when are you going to deal with that? So let's deal with that this week. Amen. And so when the Lord has your undivided attention, well, you get a glimpse of the big picture. The devil wants you focused here, but God will give you a glimpse of the big picture. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 6. I think we want to, let's look at verse 15. 2 Kings 6:15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Doesn't it seem like sometimes that we're just surrounded, one thing after another, to what's like, where's our hope? What can we do? And this is great. It says in verse 16, and he answered, this is the man of God, now this is Elisha. He said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And here's the servant looking at this host that's got him surrounded, and he looks over him, and it's just him and Elisha. And now he thinks Elijah's probably gone cuckoo. Amen. When he said that. But verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Amen.
Listen, Elisha didn't summon those horses and those chariots. They were there the whole time. I reckon they might be there right now. He just couldn't see them. Till the man of God prayed that the Lord would open his eyes. We need to give God our undivided attention. Amen. And take heart and not be so easily overwhelmed.
Amen.
By the forces of evil that are all around us. Especially when we're warned over and over, and then that's the way it's going to be. The devil wants to keep you, keep me, keep our eyes focused on the horizontal. Amen. On ourselves. Number one, and on the cares of this life and the affairs of this life, the things. They're all not cares. Sometimes it's pursuits that'll keep us from, well, acknowledging God in all our ways. For example, but God wants you to consider the vertical.
Amen.
In other words, what he's doing. Because, beloved, he's doing stuff. Amen. It says in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. Have you ever prayed that?
Yes.
Have you ever in prayer said, God, the cares of this life are beating me down. Open my eyes so that I can get a better glimpse of the wondrous things. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You ever done that? I've done that. I guess out of ignorance as a young Christian, I'm listening to preaching and I'm going, God. And I did. I walked, and sometimes as we've been at lunch together and given testimony about great and mighty things that God did. Amen. That it was good for me to be reminded of just in the telling or with my wife's telling. I prayed that. I've called upon him and I've asked him to show me great and mighty things, and he has. And now I wonder why I don't do it more often than I do.
Amen.
Why don't you?
Yes, amen.
He says, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things He's still in the business. His hand's not shortened in any way. Amen?
Amen.
We need to give the Lord our undivided attention. The devil wants it. He established that. He established his strategy early on, Genesis chapter 3. But you know what? When we give the Lord our undivided attention, you know, we get to see the cost of the pleasures of this world. This world is pleasure-oriented, dominated. You can tell that by the movies and the sports and the amusement parks and whatever can we do for fun. I don't know about it. I think I'm got attached with a bunch of strange people who set aside all our weekends that we have fun by going to church. There's a lot of people that think we're strange. Say, what do we do about it? Well, return the favor. I think they're strange. That works for me. That's, amen. I love coming to church. I have more fun in church than I ever did anywhere else.
Me too.
I really do.
That's right.
Amen. And I don't have a lot of character. My whole life in the gangs and everything was just, I just want to have fun. And boy, what a secret God had concealed from me, or the devil concealed from me, or I concealed from me. But I'm glad that at least by the time I got in my late 30s, well, he found me. I can't even claim to have found him. But when the Lord has your undivided attention, you see the cost of the pleasures of this world. Hebrews 11 and 25, I'll just read it. It about Moses, it said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Not too many people choose to suffer affliction. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Seasons change. Let me help you with that, because I know that, like I say, somebody said, yes, when winter comes, I said, what does it get down in the 50s? I mean, but up north, seasons change, and it gets pleasant for a couple months, and then it starts getting real beautiful. Now, I perceive that leaves change around here, or is it everything just green that's green, like pine trees?
Fall
off the leaves? Well, boy, I tell you what, could I suggest going to Vermont in October sometimes? Amen. It's magnificent. I've been up northern Pennsylvania and in New England in the fall and come over a hill and look at a forest at a couple thousand acres of trees. By the way, there's no tree shortage in America. Maybe in Texas, but not in America. Don't believe that liberal lie. Amen. Somebody should amen that at least. Threw that in there for you guys. And come over a hill and it'll just see 1,000 acres of trees. And it looks like God just took a paintbrush and reds and yellows, and it's magnificent. And like I say, that's another way God is declaring his glory with the creation that he made. Amen. It says pleasure of sin for a season, but seasons change. And the prettiest season up north, it precedes the ugliest. And stuff, the leaves don't just fall off. They look dead, and the snow comes, and the slush, and the ice. And it's pretty nasty there for a couple of months. And southern Ohio is not near as bad as where I grew up by where Brett grew up. Where is he at back there? Up northern part of the state. But it's still, you gotta kinda suffer it. But boy, does that make spring something to look forward to. What I'm saying is this. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of season for a sin. Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Right. Amen.
But seasons change.
Right.
Amen. Disney World might be fun for little ones, but it ain't free.
Right.
Pleasures of sin might be fun for a minute. Devil will convince you they are. But beloved, they're not free either. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 said the wages of sin is death. Say, well, I'm saved, brother, and I'm not going to hell. Yeah, but there's other things that die. Just like with Adam and Eve in the garden, it said in the day thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they didn't die physically, but they lost everything else. They lost their fellowship with God. They lost their home. Lot lost his home, his family. He lost his testimony. Christians lose their testimony at the drop of a hat because they decide to prioritize the pleasures of this world. When the Lord has your attention, this is why it's important to give the Lord your undivided attention, so that you can see sin for what it really is.
Right.
Not fun. Not a, we have a deceitful heart. We can talk ourselves into stuff that really we should know better than. But sin is deceitful and destructive and deadly. Amen. When the Lord had your attention, you see that. When I was lost and in the bike gangs and everything and riding around on my Harley in the daytime when the bright sun and your glasses, it'd get dark or you'd have dark glasses on. Amen. And then, you know, what'd we do? I mean, we'd stop at bars. And you go into a bar in the daytime and they're black. They're pitch black in the daytime just like they are at night except for the lighting, poor lighting. And you come in from the sunlight and you can't see anything because your pupils are dilated. And so if you had as many enemies as we had from beating people up, you'd get in and you'd get over by the wall, get your back up against the wall and wait for a couple of minutes for your pupils to adjust so you could see what's going on. Amen. That was standard procedure for me and my crowd. Amen. There were times I had to go to the bars and collect money when all the lights were on in the daytime, and I thought to myself, I get looking around at all the spit and vomit and filth and sometimes blood, not to mention the stench. I mean, and I look at all that in the lights and I'd say, man, if people knew how filthy this place is, they'd never come in here. Problem is, I did know. And I did go in there. Because I didn't care. That's blinded, beloved. Amen. When I got saved, I realized that my whole life prior to Jesus Christ was like that filthy barroom floor. As long as it was dark and loud, the volume was high, I didn't care. Amen. Thank God the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shined unto me. And I've tried to give God my attention since. I was on the other side. Take it from me. It ain't pretty. The devil's a liar. Your flesh is complicit in that lie. The world will present you with temptation, but the devil's the god of this world. Take it from somebody that's been there. Amen. And I ain't the only one in here that's been there either. I know that. Amen. And so when the Lord has your undivided attention, rather than being fixated on things, you see souls. You see people like he does as eternal souls. Amen. Not races, not ethnicities, not religions, not orientations. Amen. You just see people that are going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. And if I'm reading my Bible right, when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and at the gospel of Christ, at the power of God, unto salvation for everyone.
Amen.
And it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 that the Lord's not willing that any should perish. It looks like all the lines that we draw. Amen. That's not of God.
That's right.
Amen. We need to start, when the Lord has your undivided attention, you look for opportunities, amen, to tell people about Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Amen.
But they've got cathedrals and worship centers and they can get together once a week and sing and feel good about themselves and navigate through a world for the next 6 days where people are perishing all around them. And hey, maybe they don't know any better, but you and I know better.
Right.
And we need to make sure the Lord has our undivided attention. And everybody came into this meeting this week with things on their mind and things on their heart and things they had to do and things they wanted to do and things they were doing. And I'm the same exact way. But what we've done here for 10 days I ate so far is get a concentrated dose of getting the Lord's agenda and a challenge to make it ours.
Yeah.
And sing the songs of Zion and encourage one another.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to me. I mentioned it to Stephen last night. I see this played out over and over. My wife and I are not in a big hurry to leave, you might notice, especially you guys that are tasked with locking up. Sometimes Mrs. Wonderful just needs to be the last person out, even though she tries to blame it on me. It's her. And we'll watch people leave. We got to go see you tomorrow. And I mean, 24 people will tell me that. And we'll tarry another, whatever, 20, 30 minutes sometimes. And walk out the back door, and there all you are, out in the parking lot. You said, we're leaving, we'll see you tomorrow, but you didn't leave. You ain't no hurry. That blesses my soul. You know why? That's a sign of a healthy church. Amen. You want to be around God's people, because you're one of God's people. I'll tell you what will keep that from being precious to you. Some sin in your life.
That's right. Amen.
You don't want to be, who wants to be under conviction? I don't want to be around people. If I'm not doing right, I don't want to be around people that are trying real hard to do right. I don't like being under conviction.
Amen.
But truth is, amen, you and me both, we need to be under, amen, conviction. Iron sharpens iron. That means I need to develop good habits that'll carry me through when I'm not around God's people.
Amen.
And we've had a good example of that this week. Again, that blesses my soul. Amen. Amen. We need to get our vision for souls back and just make that a priority. I don't know what you guys do or don't do. You know what to do. I know that. Amen. So let me wrap it up and say this. Both the Lord and Satan want your undivided attention. Did you get it? I mean, did it make sense? I mean, it made sense to me. And if you're saved and you let the devil have your attention, you'll be worthless for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that just doesn't seem fair. Now, salvation, there's no strings attached. But, you know, I grew up raised by parents from Tennessee. We had a little character, had some morals. And if somebody went out of their way and did something for you, you didn't just blow that off. You were mindful of it. And what Jesus Christ did for us, we owe him.
Amen.
We owe him a hearing.
Amen.
In church. We owe him. I look at it like this. I owe him at least one soul. Because
right,
he saved mine.
Yeah,
amen. We ought to want to do something. I don't want to be worthless for the cause of Christ. And hey, I have bad days too. And I've had to get on my face for God and get things right.
Yeah, amen.
And wills continue to, no doubt. My flesh hadn't quit either. Amen. But I think about it like I mentioned. I don't want to go empty-handed. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to. But I don't want to be worthless to the cause of Christ. I don't want to get in my 70s like I am and be done. We're talking sometime this week about retiring. What do we do? I got no place to go. I got nothing to do else except for be the witness. I might not always be on the road as an evangelist. I'm not a pastor, but we don't retire from trying to, trying to get the gospel to people.
Amen.
I mean, we don't have days off, do we? Amen. I told my mom I got saved. I was almost 38. And my mom prayed for me all those years. And I went to Bible school while I was on federal probation. And about five years later, I said, Mom, it looks like the Lord's gonna send me off into evangelism. My pastor was behind me, endorsed me. I was off federal paper. And she was glad. Don't you know she was glad? All the places that I went before I got saved, she was glad I'd surrendered to serve the Lord. And really glad. And I told her, I don't speak as a fool. I said, Mom, you know, I'm 44 years old. I said, I'm gonna try to serve God as long as I can. And then when I retire, and she said, hold it, David. My mom was Irish. She was a straight shooter. But I mean it. And she said, David, you took your retirement first.
Amen.
You are going to have to work until you die. That's what she said. Yeah, and it's coming to pass. Amen. My friends are retiring, and I'm just getting started, man. Lord willing. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to learn how to preach if I keep hanging around you preachers. Amen. I don't want to go empty-handed.
Amen.
I don't want the devil to have mine. He had it, boy. Undivided attention. I worked hard at being a sinner. I had a doctorate degree and was working on my second. And then I got saved. I still marvel at that. I don't want him to have my attention. And I've learned some of the signs. And I know I can be blindsided. So I got to be stay close to the cross. And I thank God. God gave me that woman right there. And hopefully we do that for each other. Amen. Because if I get goofy, she doesn't let me go far. I thank God for that. I don't know how that came out. I don't really care. I thank God for a godly spouse. And if you got one, you should too.
Amen.
Amen. And you need to understand that that you're supposed to be a godly spouse. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Amen. So listen, if the Lord had your undivided attention, here's what I've noticed. I know it's true. You can weather any storm, the world, the flesh, or the devil sends your way. I've seen Christians go through stuff. I've been through some stuff myself. So have you. And the Lord will get you through. You know why? Because that book says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right. Amen.
Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Both the devil and God, the Lord, want your undivided attention. It is your choice who gets it. Now, undivided, I guess, is the key word, because you don't give one your attention one day, and that Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to pray and ask the Lord to help us stay fixed, stay focused on him. Let me say this. Both the Lord and Satan and Lucifer and the devil want you to spend eternity with them. Amen. And you're going to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or with Satan in a lake of fire. That shouldn't be a hard choice. But it is a choice that has to be made. Let's all stand. Stephen, you come.